Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nanga Def. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Grand Rising. Grand Rising. I'm here in the Female Solution Studio this morning. This is Viata, your Friday morning host. Naima Latif is traveling this morning, and we'll be joined by Dr. Debbie Green this morning, our mental health expert, and she's talking about hardship, criminal activity, chaotic events, and how it can be a challenge dealing with your own personal issues, much less being overwhelmed by the nerve-pounding stress we periodically experience in life. And she's going to, no one is exempt from pain of any magnitude, whether mild, moderate, or severe. So how do we maintain balance in an imbalanced world? So join us this morning, Dr. Debbie Green. I'll be joining her on StreamYard shortly to discuss this matter and learn some tips on self-maintenance, self-management during trying times. And one thing for sure, we must all prepare and maintain love and balance for what is to come. So I'm excited about her show this morning, and I hope you are. You'll be joining us to learn something new. We always learn something new from Dr. Debbie. That's what I'm excited about, is that every time you tune into the Female Solution, you can learn something new. So I'm looking for Dr. Debbie to call in this morning. In the meantime, we're going to play a commercial for you while we prepare for an exciting show.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. We are a part of the online network of Associated Internet Radio Hosts, On Air. On Air empowers you with transformative news and interactive radio TV shows. This is such a wonderful time to be alive and to see our human family coming together as one community as a result of that powerful tool, the internet. We can now talk directly to each other all over the world. There's no need for conflict or misunderstanding. There's no need for violence to solve our differences. We can talk to each other face to face until we reach an agreement. On Air offers a fantastic global guide to communicators from all over the world who are using their internet platforms to inspire us to strive to be our best selves in order to become the kind, compassionate, loving people we were all born to be. Once we do that, we'll see planet Earth transformed into a place of peace. Subscribe to the recommended YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and podcasts created by these Voices of Enlightenment. On Air provides daily news briefs and a weekly magazine to keep you abreast of events and opportunities. On Air news affiliates in television, radio, and print share information, insight, and interviews with notable personalities. Go to onaireverywhere.com for a daily dose of uplifting news. We're on air everywhere, online all the time.
Oh man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456, and schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
Your mic is open.
Oh, well, this is Naima Latif. And I am still on the road, just checking in, see how you're doing.
Well, I'm good morning. Naima Latif is on the road today this morning, and she's our executive. Dr. Green, how do you use
Yeah, my connection might still be a little unstable.
I'm calling Dr. Debbie Green, but her phone keeps dropping.
Ah. Yeah, I'm looking for her on Facebook. Yeah. With my other device. I don't see her yet.
She did send me a link for StreamYard, but I haven't gotten on yet. But how does she usually come into the studio?
No, she usually doesn't call in. She usually is on StreamYard, and then I just open the I'm on what do you call it? I put my phone on speaker so that it can pick up the sound from the computer that is playing.
Oh, okay. So I need
Facebook
to go on StreamYard to have her in the studio?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I couldn't do that until 8:30. So what if I can't go to StreamYard till 8:30? How is she doing? She's on just on Facebook and not on the
Blog Talk? When I'm on Blog Talk, and I put my phone on speaker to pick up her voice on StreamYard, and because I'm also connected to StreamYard.
Okay, I haven't connected to Stream because I had the grandchildren.
Well, I'm trying to find her though. I've got another phone. I'm trying to hook it up here. I don't know how stable my connection will be. Let me see. I've got her Facebook Social Solutions up, but I don't see her yet.
You get to that point where you get 55 or feel 55 like.
Okay, so I'm backstage.
Oh, yeah, you got it. Oh, great. Okay, and I can hear it. So yeah, all you do is just keep your phone on speaker, and we'll be able to hear her and you.
All of this for them, but what am I going to do for me? When will it be a time for me? Well, our topic today is really kind of tuning in on some of those areas, but it's also dealing with how we process the world. I'm talking about the ladies' defense. You know, we just came through this pandemic a few years ago, and people are still going through it. They're still being sick. They're still being affected by it. And that's just one thing. But then we have our own personal lives, you know, where we have broken relationships. Relationships that's not been healed for years that we're still dealing with. This one don't like this one. This family member don't talk to that one. You know, this is reality, is it not? People on the job seem to be, you know, having, giving you, micromanaging, trying to push you even harder than what you can even accomplish. So what's really going on? Well, again, sometimes we have to pull ourselves back. I got this thing. And for those who don't know me, I'm just going to be really quick with my background. I have a mental health background of over 15 years. I've seen the worst and I've seen the best things. I've seen people come in at their lowest state and leave at their highest. Because once they realize what was really going on in their life, that's when the depression lifts. So depression is one of those things that tends to come in with a lot of human interactions, experiences, and, you know, crucial stuff in life, crucial stuff. But the only way we're going to get through this is to love ourselves. Love ourselves enough where things will change in us. Not in everyone else, in you. And you say, well, what about somebody may not like what I've done? They may not like what I said. Well, they ain't going to like it regardless. You can't please them anyway. You might have been trying to please them all your life. All your life. Even since you've been a child. We were brought up being codependent anyway. Do this. Get up. Eat. Make your grades. Make your bed. We never really had time for ourselves. And even as we got older, we still didn't make time. Too busy trying to find love, being accepted, feeling obligations, feeling responsibilities. When does the ball stop out? One thing about life, again, in the turbulent times, it teaches us. And sometimes we got to go through that thing more than one time before we get it. And it don't feel good, but we just keep going through the same things over and over and over. Not realizing, well, wait a minute, didn't I just go through this 6 months ago? Well, one thing about it, you got to stay focused in turbulent times. And when you remain focused, what you're going to realize is that your strength supersedes your ability to conquer. That's the way it works. So that's our topic for today. And again, my name is Dr. Debbie Green. It's such a pleasure having you here. If you see me on YouTube, please subscribe, to the channel so we can get more viewership and we can reach the world to help more people, because guess what? Somebody needs a word of encouragement, a word of just, it's okay, I'm going to make it. Even when I feel myself falling apart, I'm still going to make it. This is one of those things that no matter what happens, you see this right here? That's your breath. And sometimes we don't even want to breathe no more. Sometimes we want to leave everything behind. But the breath says, it ain't time yet. The breath lets know you got another chance. Stop focusing on the problem that is the issue. When you focus always on the problem, you can't see a solution because you're focused on the problem. Take the time and back up from it and ask yourself, what should I do about this? How am I going to get through this? What's the first thing I need to do? Prioritize. Break things down. Get a pen and paper. You know what I'm saying? Write something down and say, okay, I did this and this didn't work. What's next? How am I going to conquer this thing? And the thing about it is you ain't conquering on the outside. You're conquering on the inside. Because everything that flows through you is a stimulus. Everything, the wind, the sun, the cold air, as some people are feeling now. People, places, and things. What they say, how they say it, what they do, what they don't do. It just flows to this being. And it leaves what they call roots. You ever seen like an ocean that, you know, just goes back and forth, and sometimes the waves get so strong, they knock you down. Okay? Same application of life. The waves in your life have been knocking you down. But think about it. Have you been standing there doing absolutely nothing? Have you been standing there just taking it? Have you just been standing there just weeping and crying or getting angry, getting mad, feeling guilty, feeling sad? Okay. But if you haven't been doing anything, there's a good chance that you're going to get caught up in the riptide. Oh, that's why you feel like you're spiraling, because you're not moving out the way mentally, emotionally, mentally and emotionally. Shift. If you see yourself in pain, shift out of it. You say, Dr. Dale, I'm not sure how to do that. Don't you know the brain can only concentrate on one thing at a time? One thing at a time. That's it. It can't concentrate on anything else. And you say, wait a minute, I'm multitasking. I see, I do. It looks like I'm doing a million things at once. No, you're not. It just seems that way. The brain concentrates on things. It's like if you're sitting near a window and you see cars going by. You can't concentrate and focus on every car. You're just going to catch one of those cars and you're going to follow it with your eyes. The brain does the same thing. Now, the thing about this is we then follow one and then we hold on to that, two, then we hold on to that, three, then we hold. That's our problem. We don't know how to let things go. We don't know how to move past the diversity. What has to happen for you to realize that you are emotionally addicted to a situation? What has to happen? What has to happen for you to let it go of this excess pain that you've been holding on to from pains of the past, pains of childhood, pains of a broken relationship, pain, pain, pain. You pick it up every day. Until you get used to it, grabbing it every single day. And here comes some new pain. You're going to grab that. And now you're still grabbing the old pain. Then you're going to grab the new pain. And before you realize it, all of this is affecting your being, mind, body, and soul. Okay, what do you think the body is going to do? It's going to take pressure here in your heart, interrupt sleep, you're tossing and turning, insomnia, interrupting eating too much and not eating enough. What can it do? Tightness around the shoulders, back aches, nausea in the stomach, feeling heavy right here. Oh, yeah. Stress. From where? Excessive pain. Pain that you don't need no more, pain. You don't need it anymore. Learn how to let things go. Feel, release, and let it go. Let it go. What's holding you on there? Why are you attached to it is the question. Unforgiveness, guilt, despair, grief. You know, this thing called life comes with many, many challenges. But guess what? It's a game and you got to know how to play. The way you play the game called life, whatever comes, here comes the win, feel the win, but you can't be the win. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? You can't be your problem. You can't be somebody else's burden, much less than your own. Extremely important that you realize this. Otherwise, sickness will come. Mental illness will come. It will happen. So, be ye encouraged today. Be encouraged. Be encouraged that if you take the time to practice what I just gave you, you will see a big thing. So we're going to be going through several interventions today. And I want to be able to help you to learn how to let things go and to do some self-management. Because self-management is extremely important. Why is it so important? Because if you can't manage yourself, ain't nobody else gonna manage you, okay? No doctor, no psychiatrist, no therapist, no mother, sister, brother, friend, or foe. No one can control this being but you. So if you've been out of control, well, I'm gonna tell you, out of control meaning that you can't focus. You may put the poker face on, you know, and let everybody say, oh, yeah, I'm all right. Yes, I'm okay. Yeah, it's all right. But then deep down inside, you crumble. You're decaying. That's a problem, my sister and my brother. That's a big problem. Don't pretend like you don't know. You know, the more you stay in denial, it's the greater the thing gets and starts to give you physical, mental, emotional and physical sickness. Where do you think high blood pressure comes from? Diabetes, cancer, and all of these other chronic illnesses. Because the body can't take no more because the heart is overflowing with issues. Over years of hurt and pain and despair. You know? And as we're still dealing with childhood stuff. Childhood things in our adult life. That inner child is something. When it is in pain, we think that it's just going to go away. Oh, that happened in the past. Oh, I don't have to worry about that. But then something inside of us still weeps. It still moans. It still feels like it's broken, because it is. See, the adult part of you needs to realize and stop ignoring it. Realize that I had an inner child, and my inner child suffered from whatever situation, hurt, pain, feeling unloved, feeling unworthy, feeling abused, went through crisis. Okay, now we're grown up, the pain. We still have broken relationships because of our inner child issues. So what's going on with that? How can we change it? How can we make ourselves just better? A lot of people say, I ain't never been happy. I had some patience of mine. I don't even know what happiness feels like. I've never been happy. I've never been loved. I've never even felt love. I don't even know what love feels like. Well, baby, you got to love yourself first. Are you looking for someone else to love you? Give you what you need. That's what you need. And it's not just loving your outside and doing your hair, buying you a new pair of red shoes. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about your inner man. Your inner man needs love too. It needs love too. So you take the time and you say to yourself, am I doing everything I can for me? Am I doing everything I can to help myself be emotionally stable? Am I doing everything I can to keep myself focused on just my life? And if I'm crumbling, if I find myself feeling like I'm falling apart, am I giving myself the help that I need? There's nothing wrong with therapy. You know, mental illness get a bad rap. We get a bad rap of being clinicians. But there's a doctor for every part of your body. Why cannot be a doctor for your mind? It's for every part of you. To avoid self-destruction. Oh, this is critical. So again, my name is Dr. Danny Green. Our topic today is staying focused in turbulent times and avoidance of self-destruction. Because it's very easy to self-destruct people. And self-destruction is not just suicide. Please understand. It's way before the suicide begins. It's when you start crashing emotionally. You start crashing spiritually. Then that's when you make decisions of wanting to end your life. Because you can't see life anymore. It's a facade. It's a veil over your eyes. All you can see is pain. That's all you can see. All you can see is pain. So move that veil off your eyes just for a moment. And so you can see the bigger picture of life. Well, I have a wonderful guest that's joining me. She's backstage. Brianna, your holistic coach, joining me today. And I'm so excited because I'm healthy.
Grand Rising. How are you, my sister?
Grand Rising. Good morning.
We're trying to find you on Facebook, but you're not there. Are you? Did you put the push the go live button at the top?
I am on Facebook, according to what I see.
Okay.
Go for solutions. You
know. Yes. Naima was looking for you. Welcome, and in fact, greetings, everybody. I'm filling in for our sister Naima Latif, who's on the train on her way to.
Yes.
On her way to Florida. So,
that's what she's on.
Let me just pull up, see if I can see you. Okay, no, you're not there.
Okay.
I pulled you up this morning, but it was an old video, and I thought, oh, there she is, but it didn't, let me try again, see what happens.
Well, according to this... I am checked on my...
I see you now. I got you.
And I see...
Okay. we found you.
Yeah,
but
I see the line right here.
All right.
You found me. Well, I'm glad I'm found.
Hey, that's what this show is all about, finding ourselves, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. That's exactly what it is, finding ourselves.
So let me take our break. Let me try to be on time with break.
Absolutely.
So I'm trying to figure everything out.
Yes.
We're gonna take our first break. It's 8:30 on the East Coast, and Dr. Debbie and I are in the same time zone. Woohoo! Hallelujah. So we don't talk Central or Eastern or Western or Mountain or any of that. But let me just find our commercials, and we will be right back after these messages.
What if you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant? Our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of ourselves, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about self-care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our hosts. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness sessions on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
Our kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
We're back. Thank you for joining us here. I'm Beata, your Friday morning host. I'm here with our sister, Dr. Debbie Green, who's giving us some real jewels this morning on how to fix our lives, how to be more present. You know, Dr. Debbie, my question is, where did this year go? We're at the end of the year, and it just seems like, whoosh, it went by so quick. You know, tomorrow I'm going to be covering the most important health topics for 2022. And as I look back, I thought, wow. I kept thinking, wow, I did that in January, and it felt like it was yesterday. And how are you feeling about the end of the year and how fast it's gone? And I know we want to get into your topic, but how does that play into your topic? Did the year affect your clients at all and how fast things were moving?
Absolutely. You know, we've been on this whirlwind since 20. If you notice, since 2020, the years have increased in time. I don't know because, you know, I'm a really spiritual being, and I see that very clearly, and it's totally increased in time. So that being said, most people are overwhelmed because they don't have enough time in them, they feel, to prioritize in certain things. So they, you know, they get stressed because their goals are, you know, more tightened in time, you know, to meeting the goals of their life, whether it's career, dealing with children's expenses such as college or whatever the case may be. You know, that's where the struggle comes in. So again, this year is definitely tallied up. Is whatever you didn't get done this year, well, you know, hey, you look at it this way, it's always next year. Because it just constantly flows, like really quickly.
Absolutely. Yes, I'm excited. But, you know, I was listening to you the first half hour. I was listening, but I have I'm with my grandchildren on and off. And I was thinking all of these things that you're covering need to be in our elementary school level teachings. And, Naima's doing peace school. And these things got to be taught at elementary level. Because I'm sure you know, by the time you get adults in your office, they are really having a hard time getting to that next level of health and vibe. And you said something that really I thought about. Some of your clients don't even know what happiness feels like. That is just really kind of strange to me that all their life they haven't experienced what I would say joy or happiness. How can that be?
Right. I know.
Yeah.
Well, the thing about this is more. Depending on situations and circumstances, some people really go through depression at a very early age, Brianna. So they can start depression as early as 7 years old, believe it or not. Okay, so you can say, well, how can a seven-year-old be depressed? It can. It depends on the situation. It depends on the environment that person actually has been exposed to. So being that is the case, that feeling, that emotion, it just keeps cycling. It keeps cycling in everyday life. And even as they grow up to be an adolescent, you know, it continues to cycle if it's not corrected. And the goal is that, you know, I tell the families, because I deal with adolescents as well, I said, I mean, can you imagine, you know, adolescents at the age of 12 that doesn't want to live anymore, you know, that no longer wants to breathe because there is so much pain and so much turmoil. So these things are very, very real. They're very current. And again, you know, we really don't understand, and I think we as a society, as a nation, really doesn't, you know, have a clue what mental illness is. You know, it's so many things. It's not just one thing. It's so many factors that play into this. That's the reason why I'm focusing on topics of self-turbulence. I believe that mental illness is where one becomes what they call consumed by an issue, and they don't know how to get detached from it. And again, it's from influences such as parents. You know, parents may go through their depression. And then you have a child that's more emotional than most. And before you realize it, you have these ongoing patterns in the family of mental illness, ongoing patterns. How can it be solved? How can it be, you know, cured? You know, well, the thing about it, mental illness, I wouldn't say it needs to be cured. I think it needs to be corrected. And I don't minimize it because I'm sure someone's never been depressed? Yes, I have. Everyone has been depressed in some type of way. The question is the length of time that depression stays. That's what gives the diagnosis. We've all grieved, lost a loved ones, or did something or someone disappoint us through any, you know, different circumstances or situation. But at the same token, the question is how many times has this happened and what did you do and how did you respond? You know, that's the goal. That's the goal. The goal is to, you know, take away the unwanted states of mind and put yourself in another type of mindset. Will you think positive all the time? No, you won't. We as optimists, because I'm an optimist, okay? No, I don't wake up happy every day. I wake up content. Not happy. Happiness is linked to, you know, babies being born, weddings, birthday parties, raises on the job, you know. But, you know, it's different when you rest in contentment. You'll be content in the good. You'll be content in the bad. You'll be content in the indifference. Because most of the time, those stimulus, which is stimuli coming from the outside in, you know, you have to feel those things. You feel them. And then, like I said earlier, what we do, we feel them, but we don't release them. We take them as fact in our mind, truth. You know, we take them as something that, oh, this person said this to me, and this is who I am. Someone could say you're the worst person in the world. I didn't give you the love that you felt you needed as a child. But what then happens? The mind then takes on a different mindset. And there we go. We're in this turmoil over and over. You know, our goal is to keep ourselves in a certain posture in life. Because trouble will let you know when it's ready. You ain't got to go looking for it. Trust and believe, you know. Like you were saying, in our children, our children are very sensitive emotionally. So when they're sensitive like that, remember, the frontal lobe is not developed until you're 24 or 25. So there's no logic, there's no reason, there's no rationale. And you want to know, well, why are they doing this? It's because they're dealing with impulses. They say, well, they keep doing it over and over again because they're building habits. You know, so we got to be careful what we allow our children to do and help them to understand this is the reason why I can't do it, little Johnny, because this is going to happen. And you tell them as early as 3 years old. You know, I believe that, you know, children understand English. They can't always talk English when they're really young, but they understand yes and no. And they understand. Okay. Don't teach our children, don't cuddle so much, don't pamper so much, you know, because those areas tend to give off the wrong vibe sometimes. So, like, you know, sometimes if we reprimand a child, we go right back and we hug you. Oh, it's okay, okay. But you have to tell them, I'm not hugging you because you did the wrong thing. I'm hugging you because I love you. So you have to let them know and correct them, you know. So the goal is to gain as much access of life as possible without losing control. That's our goal.
And don't you think we are in turbulent times almost daily because of social media, because of the news? I was thinking about this female rapper was in court recently because somebody shot her in the foot or they didn't shoot her in the foot.
Oh, yes.
And then yes. I listened to the guy who was accused of shooting her, and I'm like, wow, this is so confusing. And you know why? I think it's all because people are too focused on money. The money just seems to be a driving element these days, especially in these industries like music and Hollywood. People are on social media doing selfies all day long, talking about themselves all day long. I got something to tell you all day long. I mean, I just scan through my Facebook page, and all of the stuff that comes up, that's what causes people to be self-destructive because they get too confused about what is a priority. And I think about, Dr. Debbie, my grandchildren went through a divorce very early in their lives. They are now 6 and 8. And I know you probably deal with divorce all the time because that's just what's happening. And I realized if we hadn't given them the attention and love that we had to give them, because at the age of, I think my youngest was 3, and maybe his sister was 5, because she's 8 now, and it's been about 3 or 4 years. They were going back and forth between mommy and daddy's house at 3 and 5 years old. And mommy set up an agreement and a contract. Okay, you're going to spend every 3 days with mommy, 3 days with daddy, and then every other. And they were like, I could just see it in their face. Oh, confusion. Like, what? We're going back and forth now to mommy. And my grandson, who was about 3, he said, oh, I see it now. We got to go back and forth between. And then the anger showed up, Dr. Debbie. Because, and you don't really know why, and at first you're like, why are you angry? And I know why they're angry. Their life got disrupted at a very early age, and now they're confused. And then each parent is trying to outdo the other. Let's see how many things I can give Sally or the kids right before mommy gives it. And it's like self-destruction if the parents, the grandparents, I had to play a big role in this, to help them see how much they're loved and how much wisdom that they can grow out of this situation. So I say these turbulent times have a lot to do with the media promoting it, social media included, television. And then if their parents or grandparents are not there to help them balance that, they're going to end up in your office because nobody knows what to do.
Right, absolutely. You know, because 50 years ago, I would say at least 40 years ago, we didn't have social media. So a lot of things that was happening, we didn't know anything about, which was really and truly, it was a good thing.
Yeah.
It was better not to know than to know, because now that you know that right around the corner somebody killed them, whatever, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, it just intensifies more fear.
Yeah.
You know, and you're absolutely correct. So our children are exposed to social media and also, you know, the turbulence in the world. You know, that you can go on social media and go all the way across the country and see, you know, children or whatever or whoever is being hurt over there. I mean, pain is so, what they call so prevalent, but present in our lives to the point where we are numb to it. And then, you know, we don't even know how to deal with our own issues. Our own issues, you know, just get kind of pushed to the curb, you know, because we're focusing on, you know, what's happening to Sheila, what's happening to John, and, you know, yeah, it is a crucial, like, a crucial thing, because if self-destruction is real, and it doesn't just happen with suicide. People think when you start self-destructing, it's like when you don't want to live anymore. No, it starts way before that time. And the thing, you know, we get, like I said, we get so confused because things keep happening over and over and over again. So, and it's only because of the fear that is implanted inside of us. The universe only gives you what you put out. That's the only thing. It can't do anything else because you're pushing it outward. So it is a vital component of life to solve one's issues. To solve your issues deep down inside, you know, don't make pretend like you're not there, because they're gonna grow, because it's like a seed. And you know what I found out in my practice, Miyana, is that the families, again, like I said, they go through so much turbulence, and they've been going through it so long. So as the loved ones get older, and things start to happen, whoever the pillar is of the family, the strongest person that holding everybody up, or them taking care of everybody, or just taking on, being codependent, that's the person that's really greatly affected. I mean, and everyone else, you know, it's like they're literally holding them up, like, you know, on top of themselves. Like, you know, most people in the world today, if you ask them, okay, who's the priority in your family? If they believe in God, they'll say God, okay? And then they'll say my children, my husband, my mother, all of these people on top of them. And something's wrong with that picture. You say, well, death to death, you're not saying that we can love. No, love doesn't have to hurt. It doesn't have to be in pain. You know, you're putting them in the wrong hierarchy. You have to be strong to put yourself first. Then. Think about its structure. What does a pillar do to a building? It holds a building up, but first it's holding the building. Then it provides the foundation, not putting people above you. And we were taught that as children, believe it or not. Some people didn't even have, you know, children alive, which means that they were given responsibility at the early ages of 10 and 12 to watch little brother and little sister. You know what I'm saying? And they never had a time to just be. Okay, they always had responsibility. What does that do to the human character? A lot. Because then it teaches you how to be codependent. It teaches you not to take the time for yourself.
Right, and my granddaughter said something about how she watched something on TikTok, and I thought, ooh, that's a red flag for me, because TikTok is just, to me, another distraction. I learned that TikTok is a Chinese Communist Party spyware. There's this guy on YouTube who has millions of followers, and he did an experiment on TikTok because he was looking at how many views he would have and how many listeners if he brought up a certain subject. He brought up a subject that was anti-communist Chinese party, and immediately he said his numbers dropped. It got censored. So as long as, you know, TikTok to me, again, another distraction, and as long as you're doing the little fluffy things, love to do this, and selfies, and I look how good I look, and look how wonderful I am, and displaying your non-wisdom on a lot of it, you know, then you're okay. But China is gathering all your data on TikTok. And you think they're not going to use it for your detriment? Of course they are. So my granddaughter is at this stage where she wants to experiment everything. But I'm of the opinion my grandchildren need to feel a little pain now and then when they don't understand the consequences of their actions. Now, pain to me is a pinch on the arm, which my grandson absolutely hates. All I have to do is say, Grandma's going to pinch you, and he'll straighten up. Because he hates pain. He doesn't like to get his hair combed. His pain. So here's the thing, Dr. Debbie. The evidence to me that children or young youth don't know how to deal with pain is the epidemic of painkillers and all these, fentanyl and all these overdoses. So talk about avoiding self-destruction. In my mind, they're not able to deal with the pain in their life, so they're self-destructing with drugs. So how do we educate these youth on how to recognize, number one, when your body's inflamed, which is pain, and then what are your choices or options to deal with the pain? Because many of them are just going to pills and then overdosing. It's really sad. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is. Now, one thing about a substance abuse, anytime there's a person that is adapting to an addiction, and I use the word adapting, because first with our younger generation, it starts off as a pleasure of being like everyone else, okay?
Right.
So what they're doing is, like, before they realize that they're touching, you know, marijuana, meth, crack, or whatever the case may be. Oh, let's try that. Oh, let's try, you know, everybody's doing it. You know what I'm saying? So, I'm not going to be like that person over there that's strung out on it. I'm just going to try it for this one time. Okay, then that one time, you know, then starts a second time because you're still around these same individuals that still doing these same things. So now you're building up a habit. And you already had issues prior to even doing drugs. You know what I'm saying? You had issues possibly with your family, with yourself. So now it becomes a coping mechanism. And this is where it goes from grade school to high school to college and even beyond. You see what I'm saying? Because it's built that way. It's built that way. And unfortunately, you even have some influencers. Influencers are parents or people who raise children. You know, let's say, hey, my son, take a drink. You know, not realizing that you are egging them on to build an addiction. And I'm not knocking alcohol, okay? I mean, some people, you know, socially drink, and that's fine. But everyone does not have the ability to not have an addictive personality. And you don't know if you don't have an addictive personality until you start the drug. You see what I'm saying? You build a habit. That habit then builds all other things. Because addiction is one of those things that actually cohorts with also a mental illness if you're not careful. Okay, so you have addictions from anxiety. You have addiction, you know, dealing with alcohol, you know, and alcohol is a depressant. So guess what you're doing? If you were depressed before, you're going to really be depressed. You see what I'm saying? And then it requires you to keep drinking. Don't you know alcohol is the worst of all substances? Other than meth or crack or heroin and all these other stuff, popping pills, they call them Xanax, Xanies. You know, you get, and I mean, the list goes on how a person would use something to stimulate themselves. But alcohol is the worst because alcohol literally is, again, it is purchased. It's purchased freely in society. But then it causes one's body to break down very quickly, which is called DTs. So, again, you are a person that's addicted is compensating. They're compensating for something that they don't have, and they have to keep that addiction going. It's just like addiction to unhappiness. It's the same process.
And I see Hollywood played a major role in getting us all addicted to smoking and alcohol. Because when you look back at those old movies that we watched, once we got that color TV, we were stuck with the glue to the TV. And it was like, wow, look at, and everybody was smoking and drinking on in the movies. It was, you know, it's funny, Dr. Debbie, and then we're going to go to commercial shortly. They weren't in the bed all the time back in the old movies, right? They left that to our imagination, right? But they were sure smoking and drinking all the time in these old movies. I remember the Betty Davis movie, one of my favorites, was All About Eve, where she went up the stairs and she said, fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy ride. And she had a cigarette in the hand, a martini in the other hand. And that was one of the best scenes ever in movie history. And all of the movies, black and white movies, there was chain smoking all the time when I go back and look at them. So we learned how to smoke, get our smoking addiction and drink from Hollywood. If you were a Hollywood fanatic or watching movies, and now they're in the bed all the time. Sex scenes are just a normal thing in movies these days, and violence. I went to the mall with a friend last weekend, and we didn't know what to see. He didn't want to see Avatar. I wanted to see Avatar, even though it's a three-hour movie. I wanted to see it because the color and the graphics are amazing, they told me. He didn't want to see that. So we're walking around trying to decide what do we want to see. So this movie, The Menu, caught my attention, called The Menu. And so that looks interesting because the woman who stars in it played in The Queen's Gambit, which was a chess documentary.
Yes, I remember that. I've seen that.
So I thought, oh, she's probably really good in it, so let's go see that. Girl, halfway through that movie, we walked out of there. There was so much violence. This guy, one scene, because the people who became the guests at this fancy island restaurant were on the menu. So part of the lesson in the whole movie was, you people have done all this dirty deeds, sinning and all that. And he, the chef, was showing them the consequences. So one, the first scene was the guy put a gun in his mouth and shot his head up. They actually showed this scene now. They didn't hide it.
Oh, my goodness.
And he flew back into, and I was like, oh, I was in shock, my friend. And we looked at each other and like, oh, my goodness, should we leave the movie? And then the next scene before we left was some guy was protesting, and they said, well, we're going to just cut your hands off, your fingers off. And we looked at each other and like, no, they're not. And they showed his hand going on. They took some of the, one of the chefs came out and chopped off his fingers, blood splattering all over the place. And we said, we got to go, time to go. So I was in shock the rest of the night. Just like, I can't believe we saw it. But the lessons are great. I may go through that one Sunday or something. The lessons from this movie were very powerful. But why do you have to entertain us with all the violence is what my question was. Nothing left to the imagination. So like you, I think you mentioned, we've become numb to violence.
We have
become totally numb. So it's nothing to shoot somebody in the head in the streets of Chicago or wherever.
And
now we're dealing with these turbulent times because of the programming and training from Hollywood, from ignorant people, unconscious people.
Yes.
It's crazy, crazy out there. So we are there, and Dr. Debbie and I are trying to bring some sense to all this. So it's time for a commercial. I'm excited to be here, and I'm watching the studio. If anyone has a question or a comment, press 1, and we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with your questions or comments if you have any.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 community. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups.
I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Back. I'm Beata, your Friday host, and I'm sitting in for Nailati, who is traveling on a train leisurely way, seeing all the beautiful sights of the Estados Unidos, United States. Bless you, my sister, wherever you are on that train. Hope it doesn't break down. Hope you don't slow it down. I mean, train traveling is like something I don't know if I'd ever want to do, because I've heard so many horror stories, but my grandchildren, I would want to take them on a train ride eventually. But for me, just personally, put me on a plane so I can get there and hike the land and try and see the sights and all that. But train, I can't sit for long.
I like trains. It's cool. I haven't been on many of them before, but I have done my share of train rides.
Yay.
Absolutely.
I think we should try all of that at some time in our life. Yes,
absolutely. I want to focus on self-discipline real quick. Just knowing that you have the ability, and I'm just speaking to everyone that has the ear to hear my voice, you have the ability to refocus yourself in time of any type of discomfort. Again, it's so much that's going on the outside of ourselves. You know, it's easy to get into the hurricane. So I'm gonna refer to it as the hurricane. Okay. So in the eye of the hurricane is nothing but peace. Nothing is moving, and it's just total stillness. We have to stay in the eye of the hurricane, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and physically. When we stay in the eye of a hurricane, what happens is that we can see much clearer. We'll be able to actually refocus ourselves when necessary. There's different lenses, perceptions that we use throughout life. And most people don't even realize that, you know, you can talk to your mother, your sister, your brother, people at work, total strangers. But you always change your lens. It's like changing glasses. You don't speak to someone or say the same words with the same feeling as you were with someone that you know personally or close to. So it's a difference. And as we are shifting, our eyes are the ones that guide us. It's our sensory. So what am I saying to you? Whatever you are focusing on mentally, just know that that thing is going to guide your life. So if you focus on something negative mentally, it is going to change your life negatively. It's the only thing it can do. So I think negativity has its place. I believe there is a balance of negative and positive. It's not, again, not to be all positive and not acknowledge the bad or the negative side. And I think the goal, again, mentally for anyone to remain neutral, okay? I think we label things too much. We label good, we label bad, you know, based on what we feel. And we feel something that doesn't feel good, oh, that's a bad thing, you know? Not realizing, no, it's not bad. Actually, it was created by you. You created it. You know, you created that feeling, you created that response. Now, if it's coming from an external situation, no, it's just, what are you doing with it? Are you letting it get the best of you, or are you saying to yourself, self, okay, I see this as a situation. How long shall I stay in this position of feeling discomfort? No, you know, you have to go back and analyze it. If you don't analyze it, then the emotional regulator in your brain, which is in your subconscious thoughts, are going to keep you there. It's almost like, I call it emotional hijack. Emotional hijack, because we can get emotionally hijacked. You know, we have this thing called a meta condition. Meta condition, when you make a decision, a choice, to remove unwanted thoughts or even feelings after you felt them and after you thought them. Now, you don't want to remove them before. You want to know, okay, oh, this does not feel good. All right, so I'm going to deal with this, and then I'm going to release, and then I'm going to have to let it go. It's three parts to that thing. It's not just ignore or deny. No, you're not touching it. If you do that, you feel release and you let it go. So our self-discipline that we need to continue this thing called life is set with boundaries and limits. So the boundaries is the boundaries to the world. Okay? Boundaries to social media. Boundaries to a person's problems. Like you have friends or family that have, you know, different type of burdens and things that they're going through. Okay, you got to have a boundary for that. You know, say, okay, I hear you and I want to help you and assist you, but I can't be you in this situation. Because I can't help you if I'm all the way out there in your current of life. I can only help you at dry land, the way it works. It's very easy to get into an area of discomfort.
And, you know, when you mentioned labels that we put on things, good or bad, it just reminds me of our awareness of third, fourth, fifth dimensions. As I've shared and come to understand, the third dimension is physicality, everything's good, bad, wrong, right, evil, this, that, that. But once you move into a higher dimension where there's no war, for instance, there's no war in the fourth and fifth dimension, we have peace, then labeling something good or bad is unconscious because, like you said, what's the purpose of that event? It's not necessarily bad for everyone. Some people in this event are going to grow from this event. So when you're in the fourth dimension where there's no war, you're not going to say anything is good or bad because everything is meant for our growth, and we become more conscious, in my mind, about why things are happening to us. There's a lesson. I know you agree. There's a lesson in everything. So how are you going to label something bad if you can see the lesson? And that's where I think people lack the consciousness, is that they don't see the lesson in the car accident. They don't see the lesson in even someone's death, that someone is going to grow. Me, I'm going to grow from this if I can see, what can I learn from this? This turbulent times that we're going through, in my mind, is teaching us we don't want to live like this for the rest of our lives. These turbulent times, we want to end. So I'm going to work every day to end these turbulent times, and I'm going to be teaching my grandchildren how to adjust, psychology of adjustments. I'm going to be teaching them for every event, how do you adjust? Don't get upset. Don't get angry. Don't scream like they like to do. You know, children, my granddaughter loves to be dramatic, so I've been telling her, you're going to be a good actress one day because you love drama. So I'm teaching them in every situation not to become dramatic about it so much, but what can you learn about this? And that is the hardest thing for many people to do that I see, is self-discipline like you're talking about. It's something we got to work on every day in terms of our diet, our behavior, our habits. It's a daily thing. So going into the new year, that's what you are talking about, is how can we develop these good habits, these good practices, the self-discipline, so that this next year is going to be awesome. Woohoo! Looking forward.
Absolutely. And again, you know, everything is a process.
Yes.
Everything that we go through is a process. There's no quick fix. There's no, let me hurry up and get over it, because time rules everything. We don't
right.
rule. And I think that people don't realize that the time rules everything. I mean, it, you know, a lot of times we say, okay, let me make this appointment and go to this appointment and whatever, okay, and then something interrupts the appointment. Okay.
No need to cry. Don't cry.
And you get frustrated because you can't do it. And because next time yet, we have to trust time. Time can be our worst enemy but our greatest friend, you know? So I'm like, and time lets you know what to do with your issue. When time takes it, because it could be something that happened in 2000, but you're still thinking that it happened in now. No, time says it's gone. So why are you still holding on to it when time took it? It guides us. I believe the Creator put time here to guide us. Because, again, you know, years and years ago, I'm sure in the biblical days or whatever, they didn't have time. They only could say, oh, it's half past sunset. But they didn't have a clock. They didn't have anything to guide us. They were guided by the earth. You know what I'm saying? So we should do the same. You know, I think that, you know, when you plan something and it doesn't always work out as planned, just know you have time. Even though it looks like it might be really at the ninth hour, something time will come in here and say, correct something. There it goes. Oh, that's right. It's, and you ever heard that saying, oh, it's right on time? Because time is right on time. That's what time is. It's right on time.
And you said something. You said something interesting about we were guided by the earth. I think we were guided by earth and the moon and the stars and the sun. We didn't have these calendars that people are stuck on. We were looking, our ancestors were looking at the moon. Every month, the moon gave them a calendar. The waning and waxing happened over a 30-day, 28-day period. So our ancestors weren't looking at something down here. They were like, oh, look where the stars are today. Look where the stars, this and that. So another thing I said, you should stop crying. But here's the thing. I know you probably have people break down in tears or maybe not. Why are you crying and why aren't you crying might be a better question. It's because so many men, young boys grow up, don't cry, don't be a big boy. But I'm thinking if they are crying at 40 years old, 50 years old, our response might better be, well, what's the matter here? Why are you crying? Not stop crying, but why are you crying? Because that's probably something they needed to do. They probably haven't done it. My ex-husband only cried twice in a 30-some-year period being married to him. Wow. He cried at his mother's funeral, and he cried when my first son was born. Only times I've seen tears coming out. Now he's congested, overweight, and on a five or six medical drugs. So that taught me a very important lesson. Cry. You need to cry. Let's get the tears. My grandchildren cry. I'm like, oh, okay. Keep it going. Keep it going. Let's get these tears flowing, and then let's talk about it. And that's probably where you are when they come in your office. Oh, Dr. Debbie. Oh, God, what happened to me? And you're like, okay, let's talk about it.
Yes. And I always let them know it's the welding of the heart. See, the heart is the one that holds the emotional issues of your life. And so it needs to be released. You know what I'm saying? It has to be, because a lot of people don't want to let anyone see what they call their, they think it's, some people think it's weak, some people think it's vulnerable to cry, but no, it's necessary. Because, you know, all that pressure, you know, that we feel, thank God for tears.
Yeah.
And when you see after a good cry, you feel better anyway.
Yeah. There's actually a chemical in the tears that helps releases stress in the body. Yeah, there's a reason. Yeah, reason for everything.
It is. So I say, and I actually tell some of my clients, I'm like, okay, it's all right to leak, okay? I'm leaking again. I say, yeah, it's okay. I said, don't worry. The leaking will start when it's time.
Yeah.
And it does.
Yeah.
When we have emotionally released, that is when those tears then start flowing. Otherwise, they're just going to keep flowing. And sometimes, again, you know, if it's a mental condition, some people become too mournful, and they have to have, you know, medication to even adjust that because they become too mournful, you know. So it depends on the situation and the circumstance.
And I've heard of people who cried for every day for a month. It was something, I don't know if it was a death that occurred in their family. Something occurred in their life, and they said, I cried every day for 30 days, and then they were done. How about that? It might take you 30 days.
Yeah.
And you're walking to work crying, or crying on your lunch break, and people should just honor that, I think. As long as you're not suicidal, and you're processing something, why not let them cry, adults cry? Because kids do it all. And it, in a way, isn't it just, Dr. Debbie, an immature, emotional adult? They haven't processed the grief or whatever it is they're going through. It seems like they're just like a child, right?
Right. And, I've had, patients that say, I wish I could cry. I have been in this place so long, I think a good cry would help me because they become emotionally rigid, and that is an issue as well. So, like, it's nothing wrong with tears. Whether you're a man, woman, or child, nothing is wrong with tears, because when you can be emotionally available, then that's when things start to change in your life. But again, most people, I don't know, I think society links crying when you the pain, and then you can cry when you're happy too, you know what I'm saying? So tears is just, again, it's just one of those things where you become extremely emotional and then just need to flow out. So I think that's a great thing.
Yeah, I lived with a woman in an ashram for a year and a half during COVID, and her cat got very sick during that time. And this is a cat that had been with her, Dr. Debbie, for like 15 years or more. I forget how long. So she took that cat back and forth to the vet for about 3 weeks, spending money trying to get the cat well, and it was finally decided this cat's not going to get well. So she decided to have a ceremony, bring a veterinarian in to put the cat to sleep. She had flowers, and we did this big ceremony, and she held the cat in like a little papoose, and we played music, and we both cried. I didn't even know the cat. But for about maybe four years that I had known her, I'd known her cat in the house. But we both were crying because I think it was just me watching her cry, for one. She was so emotional about the whole thing. And just watching her and just feeling her sadness. So I feel like when we are close to people who are mourning, we should feel their sadness and help them and help us get through the mourning. And some people, like my sister, mourned for 2 years about the death of her daughter. She developed breast cancer, and then she passed on. I learned so much in that. That was one of those situations, Dr. Debbie, where I couldn't even grieve for a long time. I couldn't mourn or cry because I was learning lessons for the whole time.
Wow.
She was so close. She lived in my house for 9 months. And I was just observing her mourning behavior, M-O-U-R, until she passed away. And then I was like, wow. I wrote a book. That was my first book, My Body is Talking to Me, because of all the lessons from that journey with her and so many other things.
Oh, my goodness.
But how many lessons can we learn when we are really empathizing with other people's mourning and helping them in a way to come out of it?
Yes. Absolutely. It is a very sensitive thing to cry with another human being when they are hurting. And someone needs a shoulder to lean on. So when you made yourself available for that, that was definitely a gift to that person. You know, and you learn so much, you know, about yourself even when you're doing that.
That's right.
And I think that's extremely important for us to be emotionally available for ourselves. A lot of people are not emotionally available for other people as much for ourselves. And that is a practice that one should have, because think about it. If you don't know that you are in emotional need, that means you will neglect yourself. you would neglect yourself, and you would then get in a place where when you start deteriorating because of emotional damage, you won't know. You won't have any idea. So, you know, we should do this. It's extremely important to be emotionally available for ourselves, especially, and also for others, because it's easy for us to give other people our heart. You know, it's easy. And, you know, take all of me, you know, and leave nothing for myself, but nah, that's the imbalanced way of thinking.
That sounds
you
like
know,
a song.
We need ourselves.
Yeah, that's a song. Take all of me, leave nothing for myself. Nope. Nope, that's not the song.
Nah, that's not a healthy song. Nah, because I got to have at least 50%. I tell people, y'all got 100%. 100% of yourself. That's it. You can't create no more. They try to create more, but you can't. Out of 50, you got to keep 50 in the reservoir. 50% belongs to you. That belongs to you. You cannot give that up. You can give that other 50. You can divvy it out however you want to, you know, but you got to keep 50 for yourself, and I think that's extremely important, that
yes.
We understand the value of our own lives so that we won't put ourselves in the discomfort or excessive pain. Excessive pain is so easy. I think I remember one of my patients years ago told me, and he was in his 80s, and he was saying, he said, it's not dying that bothers me. He said, dying inside is still living, but that bothers me.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And from that day on, I looked at pain a whole other different way.
Wow. And what are some of the signs, Dr. Debbie, short-term and long-term, when people are being self-destructive? I keep seeing that avoidance of self-destruction. And I'm thinking about, you know, some short-term behavior that people do and perform versus long-term behavior that ends up self-destructive, but it may not appear in the short term. And then there are things that happen right away, and you're like, oh, my goodness, you're being self. But then there are things that, what, maybe you could go over some of the short-term signs of self-destruction that people can check right away versus long-term, things that they're doing long-term that can be self-destructive as well.
Yeah. Well, self-destruction is, first of all, and you can break it down in these three understandings, self-defeat. Self-defeat is always saying what you can't do. I can't do this. I can't have that.
Mm.
You know, I'm always this. I'm always that. But you're thinking more of the negative connotation.
Right.
Like, I'll never be happy. I'll always be a failure.
Right.
And you constantly tell yourself that.
Right.
I'm too fat. I'm ugly. You know, constantly beating up to self. That's self-defeat. And then you have self-sabotage. Self-sabotage is like when you can do better, you don't, period. You avoid doing better. You're constantly still doing things, actions, behaviors, habits to continue the same pattern of leading down to, you know, self-destruction. When someone's trying to reach out to you to help you, you push them away. You don't want to talk. You don't want to do this. You're constantly just like a kite in the wind without an anchor. You know, you're just hitting, you know, all types of things. You're running into things mentally, emotionally. You're colliding, literally, you know, in it all. And you don't know the damage that you're doing. So that's a pattern. So if anyone out there that sees this pattern in yourself or either someone else, know that you're headed for self-destruction if you keep doing that. Because, again, the self-destructive mechanism is on a time frame. It's time sensitive. You know, we can only do that for so long until we start to deteriorate. So, like you said, the long term is when some person's been doing it for a long time. And they don't often tell people. They don't. Most people keep it. They suppress it. They're not going to go tell somebody, hey, I think I'm a failure. No, they're not going to say that. You know, they suppress that thought. And that's what they think. So what happens is if they fail at anything, a test or didn't get a raise or whatever the case may be, you know, they may be failure. They think they're failure to their children because their children didn't turn out the way they planned. So they blame themselves. Self-blame and self-unforgiveness causes self-failure. So now you're beating yourself up, you know. Then you feel the guilt of life. So, you know, it's like a ongoing, until you get to a point where, okay, you may be in this relationship, so we can go to the thing called murder side, because I wanted to talk about that. But I know we got to take another break, too. So when we get back, I want to talk about murder side and avoiding the self-destruction part of this.
All right. And I just got a text from our executive producer. Naima Latif is in Jacksonville, Florida, where it's going to get warmer and warmer. So all of you up north, you better join her if you want to get warmed up, because we're back in spring now. We're out of that winter stuff. that lasted for a few days. And now we are really.
I know. I love Florida.
Yeah, we're in. We are in the springtime now. It was 70 yesterday, and I think it by the weekend we're gonna be in the 80s. So New Year's, I'm gonna be on the beach on New Year's morning. it's gonna be 80 degrees on the beach. So hallelujah. All right, we're gonna take a break, and when we come back, more exciting news information for you listeners to overcome all that negative behavior.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
Everything you need, what your body needs, is found in nature. So Susan Essentials doesn't do it any other way. Susan Essentials provides your employees and individuals access to over 20,000 nutritional products, and they are shipped direct to your door. Because Susan Essentials is certified in plant-based healing, we're permitted to offer you the best nutritional supplements on the planet. They're non-GMO and sustainably produced. And we take the guesswork out for you. Let Susan Essentials help you take control of your health today.
Oh man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456. And schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
Uh-huh.
constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
If you have a question or comment, please press 1 in the studio. And, of course, write your comments for Dr. Debbie to see in Facebook. And we're talking about a very, very important topic, especially as we go into this new year. Because 2023, I keep telling everybody, it's going to be a 7. So you want to be ready for good things to happen. It's going to be a lot of great opportunities for you to improve your life. And Dr. Debbie is here to help us get started with that. So you were talking about murder-side, which something we want to avoid, but we want to be aware of it and just move those I am to the positive element. So Dr. Debbie, tell us about that.
Well, one thing about murder-side is actually a title, a name I give where suicide and murder meets. So you have self-destruction and homicide together. You hear about it all the time. A man or woman or whatever would take a gun or whatever device of self-destruction and, you know, kill their family and then turn it on themselves. So this is when I call it the festering of issues. Festering of issues that's been ongoing for a period of time. So we look at the components of that, you know, what would make or what would even influence a person to get to that level where they literally would take their own children's and their loved ones' lives to the then turn around and then self-destruct. So whatever was in that human being, the one that's holding the gun, okay, or whatever. Something was there previously for years and years of self-destruction, ongoing patterns of self-destruction. It could be addiction. It could be mental illness, dealt with, anger issues, stress. You know, I mean, the list goes on, but it's all a combination of explosion. That's what it is. So then it gets to the pressure becomes, it's like a pressure cooker. If you imagine a pressure cooker, it's all right when the fire's down low.
Right.
But when you turn up the heat, it's going to blow like nobody's business.
That's right.
And that's the way it is, you know, and that's what they become. Pressure cookers, but another word I use in the title to describe it is walking, breathing landmines, because that's what a landmine does. When you put pressure to release pressure on it, even though it's been there all along, here comes that last bit of pressure, then it explodes. It explodes, and it takes everything with it. It doesn't matter what it is. So how do we prevent that? How do we know? What's the signs of if a person, we get to that level? Communication. A lot of people don't believe people when they start threatening them. Okay? Threatening them or trying to first overly control, narcissistic ways. You know, I want to control you. The way you dress, who you talk to, where you go, how you get there. Everything. Narcissists don't trust people, okay? They don't trust their loved ones. They just don't trust people because this narcissist is really prideful. It's all about what they want, how they want it. And if they never, a narcissist comes from a family where they did not get correction as far as love. They didn't get the proper nurturing. So they begin to get angry inside. And that anger turns into different things. Because emotions just don't stay in one state. They transition into other states, like irritation, agitation, frustration. Now you're angry if it's a continuing thing. Anger just doesn't remain anger. It turns into other things. It goes into rage, discord, hate, unforgiveness. So it always transitions because our being is a multifaceted being. Everything that's put in it never stays the same. It only expands. And whatever you're focusing on is going to expand. So that being the case, this person that chose to take life, because that's what they are, they are life takers. Because they don't believe, and in their mind, they don't have life. They don't honor life. They don't value life. Because they have festered over a period of time, and you never know when it's going to happen. And guess what? Somebody told you communication. You keep doing what you're doing. You're going to regret it one day. You have these little small smidgens of thoughts or words, and you realize, you're like, okay, oh, I learned about you. Okay, somebody just coming in, you find them sitting in the house in the dark. What you sitting in the dark for? Are they constantly ringing your phone, calling you, in the middle of the night, constantly, over and over, not just in the middle of the night, all day, stalking you, okay? Stalking you, wanting to know who you're talking to, separating you from your family. Okay, these are people are really going through this. So what do they do? They just allow it. And if you're smart, you would get away early. When you start seeing it early, a person, you get into a relationship, and this person starts to control you early. And if you are naive or passive, you are prey to this. Until you realize that, wait a minute, no, you can't control me. And they don't like hearing that because they want to control you. They don't want you to tell them that you can't control them. No, they don't want to hear that. They will all, and they'll do everything they can to get back in with you. Bring you flowers, candy, give you a gift, give you big ticket items. But guess what? That's only a lure. Because they're going right back doing the same things before, grabbing on you. Sometimes they do physically, they touch you physically. Oh, I didn't mean to hit you. Oh, no, ma'am. No, yes, you did. You meant to hit me. You meant to touch me. You meant to grab me. You meant to call me out my name. You meant to. Yes, you did, because you keep doing it. Don't believe the hype. Get out of a broken relationship, especially if you have children. It's dangerous. It is dangerous. And some people even try to leave. They go and they get these, they go to the authorities and get protection, and it's too late. Even the protection can't help them because they've been in a relationship too long. Now, before, when you set that boundary between you and that person thinks, oh, I can't do nothing but kill you now because you're not going to get away. And so end up hurting that person. You know, they end up taking that person's lives. And they don't just take one life. They want to take all the lives. And then it's not just with a heterosexual relationships. It's with any type of relationship. We've had children. I've seen children and everybody. This is on the news. You'll see a son goes and kills both of his parents. What's going on with that? And then kills himself. So self-destruction is real. It is very, very real. It is happening in our world, people. That is the reason why I come on here and I let you know before you even start to feel all of that deep down in yourself, you know, remove yourself from this type of mindset. Free yourself. Self-freedom is real, but it takes self-rescue to get self-freedom.
And, you know, I realized I was on the narcissistic scale or spectrum in my early years. Because what you mentioned, I didn't get enough nurturing from my mother. My mother was an alcoholic from the time I was born, I believe, because that's my memory and things that were happening. And then my parents divorced when I was like 8 or 9 years old. So the lack of nurturing, like you said, that children don't get is what's that narcissistic spectrum to expand. You know, I looked at narcissism and I realized there's a spectrum of sometimes, yeah, I was very controlling in my marriage with my children, and they were so resistant of it that that's what woke me up, basically, is because they weren't taking my BS of control, control, control. And that's where it starts, right, is that if people are definitely submitting to your need to control them to the limit, and then you just get more power. In fact, my dad and his wife, their relationship was very narcissism on the wife's part, enabler on his part. I look at it, even his son admitted that he was a big-time enabler of her narcissistic extremism. So my family didn't enable me at all. They were like, uh-uh, we ain't taking that. That's not me. So I was learning quick early to let go of my need to control everything. And it started with me taking back my sanity, basically. No, you're not going to control everybody and everything. You need to make adjustments in your life. So, you know, my situation I'm grateful for because it caused me to back up and stop trying to control everything. And then every now and then that need to control creeps in, right? That I'm protecting my boundaries, going back to not being given, getting the nurturing that I was looking for from a mother who was so into her addiction of alcohol, that I suffered from that, but I overcame eventually starting to work on myself, like you're saying here. Started working on me and thought, oh, well, blame me. Why can't you do what I tell you? You know, we have a tendency to blame others, right? When things aren't going our way, when we can't control, we're going to blame everybody. Why are you misbehaving? You're disobedient, blah, blah, blah. But really, it came down for me of turning that finger to me and saying, well, what is wrong? Why do you need to control everything? And it really kept turning me back to my mother. It really kept pointing back to my mother how that relationship was not healthy, it wasn't whole. And to this day, I'm grateful for my mother's behavior and what it taught me. Because if she hadn't been addicted to her alcohol, I wouldn't know what that looks like. I wouldn't know what that energy felt like. So that now I recognize it and I can get rid of it quicker. So that's where we go back to, was there's nothing bad, good, wrong, right, if you can see the lesson in it. And I started to see, to heal me, I started to see the lesson in no having an alcoholic parent and how I needed to heal myself of all that resentment, sadness, anger, because she only knew what to do in her moment, in her life. And I am grateful for my mother's alcoholism because that's what it is. It wasn't like I could change it. I tried to change it. How many times we pour the beer down the sink, the alcohol, and hide the bottles? I did that all my young life, hiding bottles, throwing away alcohol. It didn't matter. She would go to the store and get more. So lessons learned. That's where we are, learning lessons.
And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to learn lessons. I'm going to make a quick comment here. Grand Rising Queen, beautiful Queen, Soul Bishop, is sharing this crucial information. Most people are narcissistic and aren't aware of it, which is very, very true. And that's why it's crucial to nurture ourselves in nature.
Yeah.
Trees, dirt, beach, sand, parts,
yes,
nature, and nurture.
Nature, yes.
That's right. That is so, so true.
Yeah.
That is so true because it's a necessity.
Yeah.
It's a necessity.
And we've got a caller.
Another let you hear. We better go ahead and take them. I think we got
10 minutes. Okay, we got a caller in the studio has pressed 1. So let me open up the mic. 773-450, your mic is open.
Good morning. Grand rising and hallelujah greetings to everybody. How you doing?
Hold on
just a second.
Okay. Hello, he's got to stop the beeping sound. Hello, are you there?
Okay, I'm here. Grand rises and good morning to everyone. Can you hear me?
Go ahead. Your mic is.
It's a great show. It's been a great show. What's interesting to me is how the one thing we never realize is that if we join with each other, just two people, they help each other. It's the combined of the two. It's like you said, your mother was on alcohol and you had a high bottle and all that, but that was a peephole for you to help her and for her to find her way. Today you've learned lessons from that are unspeakable. So whenever we interact with each other, it's to overlook each other's faults or the problems, and the key should be to look for what we can do to help each other so that other person fills in some of your gaps and you fill in some of them. If we did more collective healing and just heal each other, then we would really be way over the top. But as long as we sit there and say, you got problems and I don't, that doesn't work. It seems like we got to be considerate and listen to each other and understand and validate and energize from that. So what I'm learning from the program more is even though people have problems and situations, we can assist them by listening and paying attention and trying to just put ourselves in this situation instead of being the one that wants to criticize so much. Say, oh, well, you're an alcoholic, you're a drug addict. Why name call people when you can do something better? Look for the good in them and try to accentuate that. That would help them to be better. Once they can see other parts within themselves that are worthwhile, maybe they can let go of something else. So I'm just saying we all need each other. It's always we, us, and our own instead of me, mine, and I. Sure appreciate the show. Keep doing what you're doing.
All right.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Debbie. Do you have a comment after that?
Could
you hear him?
Sorry. Well, thank you.
Could you hear him okay?
Yeah. Thank you so much. I'm not sure.
Obadiah. That was Obadiah of Chicago.
Oh, okay. Okay. Absolutely. You're absolutely correct. We were talking about labels earlier, not to label, certain things and just, let things be and then apply ourselves at that. And, of course, staying together and doing things together as a unit, not being divided, is absolutely the answer, sir. I think if we did that, we would not have the world's issue that we have today with family broken systems. So thank you so much for your words of encouragement and also with
And I think there's a disease out there, Dr. Debbie, called judgment. And a lot of people, I am really working on that. I've been working on that in my own life, not judging people and putting them in this, that person's crazy idea. And I think a lot of people, unfortunately, are in judgment too often instead of, as he was saying, learning to work, learning to listen, ask questions, and just observe without the judgment. And there's a thin line, I think, between judgment and discernment and saying that person's crazy or that person has a problem. It's like knowing that someone has autism, for instance, and their behavior demonstrates that autistic spectrum and not saying, well, that person's just crazy. No. Autistic energy is very, very unique. It's very special, and it doesn't need to be judged. It just needs to be understood. What would you say, Dr. Debbie?
Absolutely. It is, because, autism, it's been around, oh, my goodness, for the last 30, 40 years. And, of course, they linked it to the mutilization that the children received, dealing with that area.
Yeah.
But if you any autism child, adult, or whatever, if you look at them mentally, you'll notice that they're extremely talented. They're different, but their gifts supersede their ability to be accepted in the world.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? We label them.
Right.
We as a society label them. But you have autism spectrum where some of them are mute, but they can draw their artistic ability as far beyond. And anytime they ever do an IQ check or they've ever had a test for IQ, they're extremely high on the spectrum.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What does that tell you? That something is wrong with society, not wrong with them.
Yeah.
You know, they're in their own world.
And Brother Eddie Harris, comes on my Sunday show a lot, he said they're here, autistic individuals are here to save us because their perspective on life is much more spiritual, in my opinion, than ours in many instances. So we got to listen to them. So I can't believe how fast the time went. Thank you, for Dr. Debbie, for this opportunity to be with you this morning.
And come and see me again.
Yeah. I appreciate this time to grow with you. I feel like any time I spend with my soul, female solution sisters, I grow because our journeys are so different and so special that we can grow from one another. So thank you so much. And Naima, wherever you are, be safe and enjoy the heat of Florida. And she's escaped from Chicago. She's going to take off her hat and clothes, get out in the sun and the beach. And join me tomorrow. I'm going to be going over all the important lessons we learned in 2022 regarding our health and well-being. So see you tomorrow morning on Health and Well-Being. And everybody, go out there and have a good day and make somebody smile, even at the grocery store. That is always my mission. To make that cashier smile and even the bag, I'm determined to make the bag and the cashier smile. And I usually it doesn't take much. You know what you have to do?
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows. Listen to our radio shows. Order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Xiexie, India, Zanyaba, Japan, Arigato, Korea, Kamsahamnida, Russia, Spasiba, Germany, Danke, Poland, Jeong Kujung, France, Merci, Spain, Gracias, Italy, Grazie, Egypt, Shukran, Ghana, Medasi, Nigeria, Eshe, South Africa, Ngiyabonga, Senegal, Jerez, Kenya, Asante, Israel, Toda, Pakistan, Shukriya, Afghanistan, Tashakor, Saudi Arabia, Shukran, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you, and may peace be upon you, and the mercy of God, and God's blessings.